So, good morning. Buongiorno, everybody. So, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. The apostle has written this amazing letter that the church in Colossae was under the temptation to synchronize views, synchronize religions. And the apostle Paul writes this letter to show them the supremacy of Jesus. Jesus is not a caricature. He is not, he's not like we sometimes see a skinny, weak person on a cross. He is not, as we think, the little baby Jesus, as of course he was born and he was a baby, but he is magnificent, exalted in heaven after having come to earth, died like we sang today, was buried, and rose again. But he's not a caricature. He is the Lord of the universe. He sustains the universe together. He sustains our lives. And Paul pretty much is explaining to them that this has an effect upon our lives, upon belief. He raises us to a newness of life. There's all the difference in the world between religion from the outside to God working from the inside. You know, I've told you guys that in my early life, it was it was just whether it was catechism or whether it's then afterwards as a Mormon, it was on the outside. If you just do these things, God will accept you. But my goodness, when the Holy Spirit begins to work within, when we come to know Jesus personally and we find that our lives who were once dead, that we who had hearts of stone, he softens in hearts of flesh. When we see that we who were dead all of a sudden have a different life, a different power that raises us to a newness of life. And Paul says, man, when you have that life, that affects every area of your life. And he talks about husbands, he talks about wives, he talks about children, he talks about workers and slaves, and here he finishes it. It impacts every aspect of our life, and then he finishes the letter with all these names that represent friendships in the gospel. And that's another thing that I believe that the Christian life produces in us. It produces a network, for lack of a better term, a family, probably a better term, of people that we consider friends that God has blessed us with. I mean, it starts in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening with me here. So here you have some friends. He says, I'm sending Tychicus because I want him to encourage you, his friends. And then he says, by the way, he's coming with Onesimus, another friend, another guy who was a slave who ran away and became a Christian. Then you have verse 10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings. So a guy that's in prison with him, another friend. So as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And we saw that Onesimus, with him, it was how do you reconcile a situation? With Aristarchus, he's the guy that stuck through the hard times. Mark is the guy that flaked out through the hard time, but then was growing. Barnabas. Then you have Jesus, who is called Justice. You have Epaphras, who labors in prayer, another friend that does something else. And then here in verse 14, we find ourselves with our dear friend, Luke. And you know, this morning, dear friends of ours came, Andrew and Tanya, and I had not seen Tanya in years. Andrew was one of the first elders here at the church, and he's from Mallorca as well. And then they moved to England, and she came through and she just rushed over and she says, "My dear, our dear friends, my dear friend." And I said, "It's interesting that she said dear friend, because that's exactly what we have here today, our dear friend Luke." So what is a dear friend? I'm kind of simple sometimes, so I like to look at the basic dictionary definition of what something is. What's a friend? A person joined by affection and intimacy to another, independently of sexual or family love. So a person that you have affection, a person that you are intimate with, aside from being family or sexual love. Another definition is a person who is not hostile or an enemy, one who's on the same side. Another is a person who wishes another or a cause well, a sympathizer, a helper, a patron. And the last one is an acquaintance, an associate, a stranger who one comes across or has occasion to meet again. This is the problem with the English language, isn't it? You have a friend, but it's got four different definitions, right? So one is intimate, affection, independent of sexual love. And I think this is the one we're talking about here. But then you call a friend someone that doesn't do you harm. So they're not harmful towards me, so they're a friend. They're not at war with me. And then you have an acquaintance, someone that you see every once in a while. Like we would say something like a Facebook friend. And then you have the sympathizer, the well-wisher, the helper, someone that helps you out. But I believe it's the first, well, I think it's all of them. But with Luke, it reaches even the levels of the first one, which is a person joined by affection and intimacy. And we need to realize this, that our deepest longings for intimacy will ultimately be met by Jesus. So this is sometimes a bit of a difficulty. Sometimes we long for someone on earth to meet the needs that we have in our soul that only Jesus can meet. So sometimes there are friends that are just obsessed with one particular person, and they're just looking for that person to meet all their needs. And that poor person was like, "I can't. I'm just not there. Nobody's there. Only Jesus is there." But on the other hand, as much as that Jesus is our ultimate satisfaction, our ultimate provider, he has provided friends for us that we can enjoy here on the earth. And not just friends, but dear friends. Now, the word dear means highly esteemed, high in worth or value, valuable and important in your life. So not just a Facebook friend, not just someone that you see regularly, but someone that you share life with, that you're intimate with, and that you value greatly. And Luke was that to the Apostle Paul. Luke is mentioned three times in the New Testament. He's mentioned in Philippians 1:24, in 2 Timothy 4:11, and in Colossians 4:14. But then he also wrote He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts, some of the largest sections of the Bible. And you see him in these sections of the Bible because the writer, or Luke, when he writes to his friend Theophilus, he actually says to them, "I want you to know the things that happened to us." And he's telling the story of what happened in the life of Jesus and then telling what happened in the life of the church. And at one point, the narration switches tense, or switches person, rather. Instead of they and them, all of a sudden you have we and us, and you see that Luke is entered the picture. Luke was with Paul in a lot of his mission endeavors. In Philippians 1:24, Paul calls him my fellow laborer. In 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, "Only Luke is with me." And in Colossians 4:14, he calls him the beloved physician. How did they meet? How did Luke and Paul meet? In Acts 16, we see that when they had gone through all of Persia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him. So Paul was traveling through modern-day Turkey. And at one point, he tries to go north to Galatia, and the Spirit forbids them. Then he tries to go south, and he is blocked off. And then he says the only option is to continue to go west, and they end up at the coast of Turkey towards Greece. And that is where the narrative switches from they to us. Luke enters the picture. Now, when he writes to the Galatians, sorry, this is a little bit technical, but it's really interesting if you're able to follow or if I'm able to express myself. But in Galatians 4:13, Paul says, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. And you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Now notice this. He says, I was physical infirmity. I was sick. It is because of my sickness that I got to preach the gospel to you. And you were not ashamed of it, but actually you would have given me your own eyes. So because of these statements, many people think that the Apostle Paul got a type of conjunctivitis or something wrong with his eyes. And in his eye problem, in his infirmity, he met Luke, our dear friend Luke, the doctor. You see what's going on here? So because of his infirmity, he met this man Luke, who became a dear friend and a lifelong companion in his life. Now, I just want to say this. It's amazing how sometimes we meet the greatest friends in our life through detours the Lord has taken us in. Through detours. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a type of difficulty that has happened. I think here at the church, we've had people come through and they were going through a difficulty, and all of a sudden they become no longer just acquaintances, they become friends. They become dear friends through sidetracking, through situations that are less than pleasant. Because here it says that a friendship started. A valued, intimate friendship started. And although, and Paul had many other friends, but this one, I mean, Paul says he is a dear friend, a greatly valued friend. And you know what? Although Paul had so many friends, he was still sensitive to how God was providing other people in his life. So, friends are very important things. Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Kind of like what you are. You are what you eat. You know, it's one of those things like, tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Who do you run with? Who do you hang out with? Who affects your life? And I want to say that Luke was a tremendous friend for the Apostle Paul. And I think through the biblical text and then through some other things that we'll talk about, I'm going to try to explain or look at and be able to recognize what a good friend is. Well, first of all, Luke was a caring man. Luke cared for the Apostle Paul. When he was sick, he was there for the Apostle Paul. And not only that, but to be a physician in those days, it was by vocation and not through greed that you will become a doctor. I mean, nowadays, when sometimes you live in the United States and to be a doctor, my goodness, you can make a lot of dough. I mean, of course, I understand the principle. You pay, so you're able to investigate. You're able to do a lot, but you make a lot of money being a doctor. In those days, it was not strange to be a doctor and actually be a slave. So to be a doctor actually was by vocation. It had to be because you cared for people. I remember we went to Edinburgh, and we were explaining how doctors function in the past, in the maybe like the 1600s and stuff. And they actually, the doctors, to recognize what was wrong with somebody else that was sick, sometimes had to taste their urine. You have to love people a lot to find out that way how they are doing. I mean, you have to have a big heart to say, okay, let me taste and see how you're doing, how I can best help you. But first of all, Luke was a caring man. And you know what? I think you can call someone and you can see if someone, you can recognize somebody as a friend of yours if they care about you. You know, Loretta, last week after the baptism, we had a baptism and Loretta had the kettle and she was pouring a tea for everybody. And next thing you know, the cap fell off the kettle and she boiled her hand. I mean, brutal. And then I got a message from Dieter when he found out about it. And he's like, no, he actually had come over to the house and he saw Loretta's hand. And then he just said, Raph, let me know how we can help. If we can bring somebody to clean the house, if we can have someone to help, and please let me know how we can help you. And everything was taken care of. And others, you know, at other times, and I mean, this is the church. I mean, the church here is amazing that way. But Jonathan was in the car and I played the audio loud. And I said, Jonathan, now that's a friend. Now that's a friend. A friend is someone that cares about you. Not someone that uses you, but cares about you. Number two, he was willing to yield. Luke was not a stubborn person that it is my way or the highway. There's some single, you know, kids that were just by them. What is it called? Single kids? Or no, it's not called single kids. It's called only child. Only child. That's what it is. That, you know, and not only that, I mean, obviously it could happen in different people. People with 10 brothers can be like that. But there are some people that it's either my way or the highway. I like to do what I want, when I want, however I want, and you either come with me or you're against me, and I just do what I want. Well, Luke was not like that. In Acts 16, in the story that we read before, it says that when they got to Troas, that Paul saw a vision, and he saw the vision of a man saying, come and help us to go to Greece, to Macedonia. And it says this, and then we concluded, listen, Paul saw the vision, and then it says, and we concluded. One person saw the vision. The rest of people said, you know what? We believe that this is God. And they yielded to what the best thing was moving forward. That's a friend. You don't want a friend that says it's either my way or the highway, or you be the kind of person that is my way or the highway. So you surround yourselves that always do the things you want to do. It is beautiful friendship when we are able not to yield to our spoilness, but rather that we are able to do the best option going forward. Being flexible, being willing to yield not to what you want, but what God wants together. I love to be around people like that. I consider friends people that are not trying to get me in one direction or me them in one direction, but rather say, Lord, what do you want to do? And let's yield to that together. Luke was like that. And Paul appreciated that. Number three, he was concerned for unbelievers and wrote two books of the Bible to his friend Theophilus. He didn't just care for Paul and Paul's interest. He was meticulous and he took this task of writing Luke and Acts, which are 24 chapters and 28 chapters, thank you. They were extremely, I mean, the book is just is just the finished process, but the time to research that in order for someone's life to be cemented and grounded in the gospel, it's amazing. And you know what? A friend is not someone that just cares for you, but that you actually see them caring for other people. We have to be careful. And you know what? You usually recognize friends. And listen, you guys that are single and are going to get married, don't focus on how the person is treating you. Look how that person treats other friends. Look how that person treats family. Look how that person treats roommates. Look how that person works in different realms. Because if they cannot work and get along with people at work, if they don't get along with their family, if they don't get along with their siblings, if they don't get along with their friends, neither are they going to get along with you. So we need to watch how people actually are with other people. And you could look at the life of Luke, no pun intended, and he was concerned for Theophilus. He wrote two large books. He researched them meticulously, carefully, and wrote them down in an orderly account in order for this man to be cemented, grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Longevity. Another sign of a true friend is whether you turn and they're still there. You know, the years go by and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, that person's still there. We've been friends now for a long time. And then you're able to say, my goodness, that is a dear friend. Luke was and had been a faithful friend, not for a week, not for a month, but for years. You know, guys, growing up, I was public relations in, not that big of a deal, but I mean, I was one of these guys that handed out cards to go to nightclubs in Cala Rajada, you know, and it's just like, and they would ask me, hey, we want you to fill this bar up. And I'm like, really? You really want it full? And they were like, yeah. And next thing you know, there's like, next time you got to bring less people because it was packed, you know. And I would just have this ability to bring people to nightclubs. And you know what? I was a man or I was a young man of many acquaintances, but no friends. Many acquaintances, but no friends. And over the years, it's just nice to be surrounded with friends, to have friends that have survived the test of time, that you've been with. I mean, I told Bart, I've told people here at the church that we've known for years, and we love the new friends. But I told Bart, I'm so thankful for friendships, long-standing friendships where we've done each other no harm. Well, we've just been there for each other. And the ups and downs, not judging each other, but assisting each other in different circumstances. It's just wonderful to look to the side and realize that there are still people by your side after so many years. Luke was with Paul in arrest, through political movements, through court hearings, through shipwrecks, through a viper. You know, I mean, at one point, Luke could have said, you know what? The viper, that's just the end. If even nature's against you, I'm going my way. But he stuck by him. He stuck by him. He didn't say, oh my goodness, you're a curse. You, nothing goes well with you and leaves. But he stuck by him through the difficulties. Next, Luke was loyal. Wherever Paul went, listen to this, guys. Wherever Paul went, people slandered the Apostle Paul. Everywhere Paul went, they slandered him. And you know what slander looks like. You know, it's just like they just begin to say, well, he's not of God. He's this, he's that. And it's an erosion. You ever see how you build a castle on the sand with the kids, and next thing you know, the water just comes and takes a little bit. and then it takes a little bit more, and then it takes a little bit more, and you watch it, and sometimes I like to do it, you just kind of dig a little bit, and then a big crack appears, and boom, one side comes, and then another crack appears, and another side comes. Well, that's the way that slander works. It's just eroding, and Luke was able to hear. He no doubt heard the things that were being said, but he knew the Apostle Paul. He believed in Paul. He believed in what he was doing and who he was, and he stuck by him no matter what the rest of the people said. It's kind of nice to have people that trust you when you're slandered. Of course, if it's true, it's kind of nice for people to maybe realize that it is true, but they love you anyway. But we have to be very careful that we don't receive the erosive things that people say, you know, to exalt themselves above other people. It says in 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, it says, "Be diligent," Paul said, "to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me." Listen, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica, and Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. So everybody's left me. And then he says these amazing words, "Only Luke is with me." Can you imagine? You're in prison and everybody is needing to do, has responsibilities, which is okay. But Demas actually leaves because he loves this world. He can't take it anymore. And Paul's sitting here. I'm sitting here for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, you know what? Only Luke is with me. He appreciated Luke. And Luke was loyal to him. But this is where we have to be careful. No friend on earth is perfect. Because I can give you this list, and all of a sudden you can put a list of what kind of friend you're supposed to have. But I want to tell you, I want to read to you another verse. 2 Timothy 4:16, it says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me." No one is no one. "But all forsook me. May not be held against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Isn't that amazing? He says, "And my first defense when I was in prison, no one stood with me." That includes Luke. He wasn't there. And you know what? I have met people that have grown bitter because somebody wasn't there 100% of the time. But the fact is that no one but Jesus can be there 100% of the time. We cannot become so people-dependent. We have to become God-dependent. And sometimes God will allow us to be in situations where we feel we have no friends so that we draw strength from the greatest friend. "And my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me, but the Lord stood by me." And that is one of the greatest experiences that we can have in life. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we are like, I told you about the guy, about Loretta with the hand, and Dieter saying, "We need to help." And I could say, "Oh, wow." I mean, I could focus. Well, so-and-so didn't call, and so-and-so didn't call, and so-and-so didn't call. No. I can focus on the fact that so-and-so did call. But even if they didn't call, I can focus on the fact that God was going to carry us through. God will carry us through. And I think when we have those situations where we're like that, you know what that helps us to do? Not to become so demanding in what kind of friends we have, but it helps us to appreciate what kind of friend we should be to other people. I have a whole list of things, but I'm going to spare you. It's okay. I'm going to go through them really quick. Luke loved Jesus above all. Another Luke and Paul spent time together. they had one big common interest. He could see situations level-headed. He was not overly dependent on the Apostle Paul. And this one I like to explain a little bit. When the Apostle Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and then taken to Caesarea, I believe that it's during that time that Paul was able to grab all the evidence to write Luke. At least Luke. Because he says, I went to the sources. When did he have time to do that if it wasn't while Paul was in prison for 2 years? So here he is with Paul. Paul's in prison, and he takes the opportunity not to be over-dependent. Hey, Paul, can you teach me? Hey, Paul, can you do this? But he actually goes and does the research. But another attribute with friends, they are honest. Friends that are not exclusive. It's so sad when we think like, okay, Bart, you're my friend. You're my only friend. And I just want me to be your only friend. No. To have dear friends means we have a variety of friends. Different people bring different things to the table. And we can know things about ourselves and about others by just having a beautiful variety of friends that God has provided for us. Friends we can trust. Friends are gracious to one another. Friends are merciful to one another. Friends are generous with one another. Friends talk to one another. Friends build each other up and speak the truth to one another. Friends challenge us in our lives. Friends are not there to compete. They're there to complement. They're patient. They're forgiving. These are the friends that we see in Luke, in Colossians chapter 4. And there's three things very briefly. Four things very briefly. Number one, we need to recognize who our friends are. You know, today Jonathan's here with his friends Felix and Hugo, and I'm so grateful for his friends. But Jonathan's going to start a new school. And one of the things I'm wondering is like, okay, what kind of friends is Jonathan going to have there? And you know what I want? I want Jonathan to be able to say, you know what? I want to recognize what are good friends in my life. And you guys, you're going to school. Some of you young people, the youth are in here today. You're venturing into life. You need to have the equipment to discern what is a good friend in my life, what isn't a good friend in my life. And that means that you need to be able to recognize these things. Once they are recognized, we need to value them. To appreciate, to be grateful for the friends that God has put in our life. You know, I think sometimes in my life, or all of us, we can take certain people for granted because they're there. And then we can sort of give a lot of attention to others that are not necessarily, that we don't really know that well because we want to win their favor. But one thing we need to learn is how to value the friends that God has provided for us. That means you esteem them. You treasure them. You say they are dear to me. Number three, so number one, we recognize. Number two, we value. Number three, we cultivate these friendships. Cultivate means we invest our time, effort, our energy. We invest time, we invest life, and we're determined to communicate. Many times we go through a lot of things. At least I'm kind of, you guys are not going to believe this, but I'm actually quite introverted when it comes to certain things. And Loretta as well. And you know, it's important that sometimes we go through things and we just keep everything to ourselves. And we really have friends around us that we, you know, where it says, confess your sins one to another or bear each other's burdens, that is to be done collectively with people. And sometimes we just feel like we shouldn't do that. And we probably shouldn't with certain people, but there are certain people that God has given in our life that we need to be able to communicate. and express to build that friendship. You see, number four, Paul was not a loner. You cannot read the New Testament and tell me that Paul was an island all by himself. He wasn't. He had a network. He had a lot of friends in a lot of different countries, even locally where he was, and people that he traveled with that he considered his friends. And a friend? Who are the people around you that are not hostile? Who is a person around you that is not distant? Who is someone around you that is not the enemy? Who's someone that cares for you and sympathizes with you? Who is someone that's co-working with you? And who is there that you can be intimate with? That you can share the deepest things in your life and be able to sit down and say, you know what, this is how I feel. And will not judge you, would help you to work through the process and will be longing to establish you. Who are these people? And I would like to give one exhortation today, is to recognize, once you recognize, to value, and once you value, to invest in good friends that we can grow with, that we can grow in our knowledge of Jesus, that we can go through earth together, and that we can, in turn, look up to heaven and say, oh my goodness, Lord, you are always there, but I'm so grateful for the people that you've brought in my life. Let's pray. Father, we, you know, these verses, this chapter, just full of names, and just the temptation to just skip through it, and it's just so rich. I think of David and Jonathan, how you bless them with a relationship, even above, it says, that of a husband and wife. There was a friendship. There was an intimacy. They were able to just talk. You know, just travel through life together, even if they were not together all the time. Even to the fact that Jonathan would protect David even against his father's ill wishes as he sought to destroy David. That Jonathan would be so loyal to do what is right and to be a good friend. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to recognize the people that you bring into our life, the older ones that are still with us, the newer ones that you're bringing in, that you would help us to value, to treasure those friendships. But it will not just be feelings, that there will be active investment in them. Help us to cultivate, Lord, relationships with our time. Be generous with our time, with our energies. Lord, we want to say thank you, Father, from the bottom of our hearts, that you've made us into relational people. You are love. You are Father, Son, and Spirit, and you call us friend. And then you surround us with beautiful relationships. And I pray, Father, that we would just flow in them, Lord. And that when people forsake us, when people hurt us, that there will be grace in our hearts, Lord, to realize that there's no one perfect but you. And that we ourselves have failed others. In Jesus' name, amen.